Parshas Korach is the eponymous tale of the tragic downfall of Korach, who meets a terrible fate. Korach is one of the great tragic figures of the Bible. He comes from a good family. He had potential. He could have been a great man. Because of his machlokas with Moshe, he ended up being swallowed alive by the earth. Now, there are midrashim, there are chazals that say that Korach had a problem with kfira. The medrash says, atzas minus haya behen. But ultimately, of course, we know that the primary problem of Korach is actually the symbol of machlokas. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, Perkei Mishnah Chof, kol machlokas shi l'shem shamayim, sofu l'skayim, she'en l'shem shamayim, ein sofu l'skayim. What's the classic example of a machlokas she'en l'shem shamayim? Zu machlokas Korach v'chol adaso. The Torah tells us, lo yiyek Korach v'chol adaso. Korach symbolizes a machlokas she'en l'shem shamayim. It's interesting that the definition of L'shem Shemayim and Ein L'shem Shemayim, parenthetical comment, is not always what we would think. Rav Yaakov Emden, going on a Mishnah in an earlier Perek in Perkei Avos, in Perek Dalad, the Mishnah of called Knesia Shi L'shem Shemayim Sofu L'skayim, he wants to know why the Christians and the Muslims, who would seem to be a Knesia that's not L'shem Shemayim, have had so much success and have endured throughout the centuries, throughout millennia. Rav Yaakov Emden says, no, the other religions are considered a Knesia L'shem Shemayim. They mean well, they promote monotheism, and they promote many correct theological doctrines. They even help us, he says, sometimes. They help at least the enlightened ones help us against some of the cruder anti-Semites, even though, of course, they've had their own share of anti-Semites. But that's called L'shem Shemayim. Korach, on the other hand, is called Ein L'shem Shemayim. And Korach indeed meets a terrible fate, and that was a machlokish Ein L'shem Shemayim. Another classic example of a biblical figure who meets a bad end because of his machlokas is Yeravim ben Nevat. He was the one who was chalik on Malchus Beis David. He broke off the Malchus of Aseres HaShvatim. He's one of the special three malachim, who are exclusively mentioned by the first Mishnah in Chalik as having Ein Lehem Chalik L'Olam Haba, along with Achav and Menashe. There's a remarkable Gemara that I always find quite fascinating. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Beis. The Gemara says, "Achra davar hazeh lo shav Yeravam min darko hara." Yeravam did not return, did not do tshuva. My acher, Amar Rav Abba. What was the climactic event? What was the turning point? The point of no return. Amar Rav Abba, acher shetafsu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yeravam bebigdo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol seized Yeravam by his garment. V'amar lo chazar b'cha. Repent. Return to the fold. Vaniva ato Benisha and Tal Gan Eden. I and you and Benisha and Malchus Beis David will stroll together in Gan Eden, whatever that means. Amar lo mi barosh. Yeravam's question is, who will be first online? So he told him, Benisha barosh. Hashem said, Benisha will precede you. Iachi lo bina. Yeravam said, not interested, and he went back to his terrible career of machlokas against Malchus Beis David and Avodah Zarah and other things, and he's listed as one of the three malachim who have no chelek in Olam Haba. It's an incredible thing. Yeravam didn't say, it's hard for me to give up my kavod, it's hard for me to give up my malchus, it's hard for me to admit I was wrong. All that, he apparently was willing to retract. The one thing he couldn't accept was mivarosh. I can't accept the idea that someone else will be ahead of me. And this brings us to the theme of today's share, the question of pshara versus din. Often we have two litigants, and both litigants has a very hard time not fighting, or a very hard time accepting a verdict that goes against him. So why is this? So there are different psychological motivations operating here. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, my Rav, likes to say that he says when he gives a shir, when he says a halacha in Arachayim, Hilchas Shabbos, or Yoredeya, Hilchas Kashrus, everyone accepts it. He's the rabbi, he knows the halacha, and they say, fine, that's what you say, that's what we do. Rabbi Reisman says, when I give a share in Chosh and Mishpat, everyone has a reaction, everyone has something to say, they don't accept what I say, they argue with me. What's the difference? So Rabbi Reisman says, in Chosh and Mishpat, which is all about Yosher and all about tzedek and rectitude, people feel they know, they have a moral compass, they have moral intuitions, they know what's right and wrong. Shabbos, a person understands, he's not an expert in Hilchos Shabbos, he doesn't know. But Chosh and Mishpat, right and wrong, everyone feels they know. Everyone feels he knows. There's also another dynamic at play, though, which is prevalent too. This is, I think, that embodied in a famous dialogue between Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan and Brisk. The story goes, I think, that Rav Simcha Zelig asked Rav Chaim, "Explain to me," he said, "I don't understand. When someone comes to me with a cow, and the shaila is whether it's kosher or treif, and I tell him that it's treif, so he understands, it's treif, he takes a tremendous loss, the cow is worth a lot of money, that's what the Torah says, you know, he deals with it. But when they come to me for a dintar of some chazelig asked, and it's only 50 rubles, a cow might be 1,000 rubles, a dintar might be 50 rubles, and I paskin against somebody, he gets upset, and he insults me, and he can't understand it, then why is it so much harder for him to accept, even though the money at stake is maybe much less?" So Rav Chaim reportedly told him, a typical brisker line, he told him, "It's not that he lost, it's that the other guy won." The point being that Chasher Mishpat is adversarial. Even if the money you could afford to lose, the idea that you're wrong and someone else is right, that bothers people. That people have a very hard time accepting. But the Torah does recommend pshara, as we're going to see the sources soon. The Torah does not want a person to always insist on obtaining his full recourse under din. That's what this share will be about. The question of, is pshara good or not? It generally is good, but exactly how good is it? Should a dayan encourage pshara? At what point in the proceedings should a dayan encourage pshara? So we'll discuss the sugya, and we will discuss a number of important questions that arise out of the sugya. The sugya is on Daf Vav and Daf Zayin Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings four opinions among the Tanaim about whether pshara is desirable. The first sheet of the Tanakhama says, "Nigmar hadin iyata rashay levtzoa." After a Gmar Din, you're not allowed to do Pshara. Before the Gmar Din, you are allowed to do Pshara. And the Gmar later on Daf Zayin says you're allowed to, but there's no mitzvah according to the Tanakhama. That's the first opinion. After Gmar Din, it's usur. Before Gmar Din, it's mutter, but it's optional. We don't pass like the Tanakhama. The second Shita, Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshel ben Yosei Glili, Omer Asur Lefzah. Pshara is bad. You're not allowed to do Pshara. B'chal Batzeya, Reza Chote. Someone who makes a Pshara is sinning. Someone who supports, who blesses the Batzeya is Menayit, is angry at Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zen Namar Batzeya Baruch, Mietz Hashem. Ella Yikuba Din Esahar. Din is important. We want only Din, nothing else. Don't do Pshar. Shnamar Ki Amishpa Lelokim Hu. Chain Moshe Yomar Yikuba Din Esahar. Moshe also used to say Yikuba Din Esahar. Moshe was the Dayan, of course, as in Pashas Yisro. Aval Aaron, Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom, who made some Shalom Rodin Lachavero. Aaron, of course, famously was the Rodev Shalom. Shenemar Taras Emes Tia Aisa B'Fiu V'Avul L'Nimsa B'Sfasav B'Shalom U'V'Meisher Halachiti V'Rabim Heishav Me'Avim. So Aaron was the Rod of Shalom. He made Psharas. Moshe was a Dayan. He was Yikvah Din HaSahar. We don't pass him like this opinion either. However, the statement about Aaron is very important because, as we shall discuss later, the Poskim infer from this that even in cases where Pshara is not allowed or not recommended, that is only the Dayan. But Aaron not being a Dayan, the Rishonim explain, was permitted to make Psharas, and we learn out an important halacha from this. So these are the first two Shitas. We don't paskin like this. The third Shita is the way we paskin according to most poskim. That is the Shita of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. He says, mitzvah of tzah. It's a mitzvah to make Psharas. Shenemar, emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. Halva makam sheyesh mishpat ein shalom. Makam sheyesh shalom ein mishpat. Which is it, shalom or mishpat? Mishpat means we'll do the din, not everyone will be happy. Shalom means you make peace. Ela ezu mishpat sheyesh b'shalom avi yomer zebitzua. It's the way to reconcile mishpat and shalom is by pshara, and that is recommended. V'chein b'david hu amer, it says David made psharas, the Gemara dashens. So pshara is a good thing. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch actually add the language kol dayin sho'os pshara ezim meshubach. Pshara is definitely allowed, and it's even a mitzvah to make a pshara. The fourth shita is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. He says pshara depends. He says before the dayan knows heichan hadin note, you're allowed to make a pshara. But after the dayan knows heichan hadin note, you are no longer allowed to make a pshara. According to most poskim, we do not paskin like this. We paskin until the gemar din, you're allowed to, and it's even a mitzvah. There are possibly some poskim who say that this is the halacha, but again, most poskim say that this is not the halacha, and that before the actual Gmar Din, as we shall discuss later, before the actual Gmar Din, it is actually a mitzvah to make a pshara, as the sheet of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. The Gemara though goes on and clarifies Rabbi Shua ben Karcha's opinion a little further. The Mara brings the statement of Rav Huna, that he says, when when litigants would come before Rav Huna for din, Amar lehu, idina b'isu or pshara b'isu? Do you want din or do you want pshara? The Mara says, yeah, that's what Rishu Ben Karcha means. My mitzvah, what mitzvah does he mean? Mitzvah amar lehu, idina b'isu or pshara b'isu. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to tell the litigants, there's another option. Besides din, there's an option of pshara. That's how we paskin. That there's a mitzvah for the dayan. There's a mitzvah for the dayan to tell the litigant that you have an option of din or pshara. We shall discuss presently exactly what that means. Now, by way of introduction, we should make one point, which is that everything we discussed today, all the different shittas of the poskim, the tanaim and the poskim and the arishanim, the achranim, the farshim of the shulchan aruch, are all focused on whether the dayan has the mitzvah to make mitzvah or permission to make a pshara. The dayan or other third-party arbiters, there is very little discussion of whether the litigants themselves have any mitzvah or any whether we urge them to accept pshara. The halacha psuka actually tries to claim that there are sources in the Rishonim that say that the halacha psuka in Hara 118 in Siman Yud Beis and Shulchan Aruch, Siman Yud Beis is the Hilchos Dayanim, that's where all the mafarshim of pshara, poskim of pshara are. They actually do try to claim that there are rayas from Rishonim that there is a mitzvah on the litigants themselves to accept pshara and not to pursue din, but I didn't find their rayas so persuasive, and they themselves admit that the Meshech Chachma seems to say pretty explicitly that in the general case, there is no mitzvah except for certain specific cases where it's impossible to do the right din, like two wagons who backing down who are stuck on a road, one of them has to give way. There is no din that says which should have to move, so there's a mitzvah to accept pshara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. But in general, Meshech Chachma says there is no mitzvah on the litigants. The dayan has a mitzvah to encourage pshara, but the litigants themselves have the right to insist on din. The halacha psuka says that some disagree. Anyway, the bulk of today's share will be focused on the dayan or other third-party people who want to make shalom like Aaron. The focus will be on whether the dayan or the other people have if they have permission to make psharas. So the first question we have to understand is, what does the Mar mean when it says mitzvah lememru hu idina b'isu o pshara b'isu? So many poskim, many rishonim, when they bring this Gemara down, they bring down the wording exactly as the Gemara does. You ask, idina b'isu o pshara b'isu. The language of the Torah is actually different. The Torah says the order is reversed. We first ask, the Torah says, ipshara b'isu o dina b'isu. So the Beis Yosef and the Bach and Siman Yud Beis both discuss this. Does the Torah really mean this, that the mitzvah is first to say pshara? So there is a machlokes achronim whether the Torah really means to say that you're supposed to first mention pshara before din. That's part of the mitzvah. And Mishnas Yaakov says that it isn't. Mishnas Yaakov is in Simon tests, and the Berkei Yosef also says that the Torah does not mean, like the Mishnas Yaakov, the Torah does not mean that the mitzvah is to mention pshara first. It just means at the beginning of the Din Torah, the Torah means you have to mention pshara. The exact order is not significant, and that's what most Rishonim are mashma. Berkei Yosef points out that the Piskei Harosh, which is written by the Torah, actually has the language reversed, as we have it in the Gemara, that you first say Yidina B'Isu. So most posts can probably say that the point is, at the beginning of the Din Torah, you have to mention pshara, that there's an option of pshara, but we don't actually care about the order. It's not entirely clear, as we said, the Beis Yosef is mesopic, but this is the first shaila. Does the Gemara mean mitzvah dafka to mention pshara first, or most poskim say that's not what it means, it just means that there is a mitzvah to mention the possibility of pshara. A more important, or a much more hotly contested question is, how far does a mitzvah go? Does the mitzvah merely mean that the dayan has a mitzvah to introduce the concept of pshara, to simply mention the idea of pshara, or is the mitzvah actually for him to attempt to persuade the litigants to accept pshara? Is he actually mitzvah to try to talk them into it, to try to explain, or how far does he have to go? This is a big machlokas among the poskim. There are a number of poskim who say that, who insist that there is actually a mitzvah on the dayan to attempt to persuade the litigants to pshara, to lobby on behalf of pshara. Notably, this is the Drisha and the Sma and Sifkat and Vav and Siman Yud Beis. The Tzivas Paskins this way in the Chedushim Os Gimel. This is the opinion of the Berkei Yosef and Siman Yud Beis and Os Tess, the Chida. So these poskim say there is actually a mitzvah to persuade the litigants to accept the pshar. On the other hand, there are those who say that they dafka should not do that, that attempting to persuade the litigants against din is wrong. This is most notably the opinion of the Taz B'Shem the Maral, his answers to the Maral, that The Gemara means exactly what it says. The Gemara means that the Dayan should simply propose that the mention Pshar as an option, point out to the litigants that it is a possibility, but nothing more than that. That's all the Dayan should do. And Lamai says, we pointed out, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam do use language that says that the Dayan who makes many Psharas, Kalam Arba, to do Pshara is Rezim Meshuvah. So clearly Halacha prefers Pshara and says that a Dayan who does Pshara is Meshuvah. Nevertheless, the Taz and the Maral hold that you should not try too hard to persuade the litigants to do Pshara. The Orim Batumim actually, Vinas and Abshitz, Paskins this way too. And the Halacha Psuka actually says that many Rishonim are Mashma this way. They say that's the Ikar, because many Rishonim are Mashma, that there is not a mitzvah for the litigants, for the Dayan, to work hard on persuading the litigants to accept a Pshara. Now, we're learning about Pshara, and in the spirit of Pshara, there are a number of Achronim who propose compromise positions between these two extremes, yes and no. The Bach, for example, as explained by the Halacha Psuka again, the Bach says that originally when the litigants appear before the Dayan, the mitzvah of the Dayan is merely to say, there is an option of Pshara, you might want to consider Pshara. However, once the litigants accept Pshara, they agree to that, then the Dayan has a mitzvah to encourage them to stick to it, to persuade them that the Pshara is good. So they have a mitzvah to kind of promote the Pshara once the litigants have taken the bait, so to speak, once the litigants have gone for it. But originally they should give the litigants choice, as the Taz and Maral say, but once they've accepted Pshara, the Dayan should promote it and get them to stick to it. The Maznayim L'Mishpat, that's Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's Sefer on Chosh and Mishpat, he has another Pshara between the two opinions. He says that Pshara is a great idea if there's a reason for it. Now, normally a Dayan makes Pshara for one of two reasons. Either to make Shalom, because even if one side is right, making Shalom is a good thing, or because very often the din is uncertain. Certainly today, the Yerushalmi says, in the last Yad Alamed and Torah, today we don't have such confidence in our competence. Even in the Talmud Chazal, the din, sometimes the tainus of the Bala din are not certain, sometimes the din is complicated. But a third reason to make Pshara, the poskim say, is Lefnim Meshur HaDin. Very often the din is with one side, but Yosher, Lefnim Meshur HaDin is with the other side. So Rav Kalischer in the Maznayim L'Mishpat says, in a case where there is a reason to make Pshara, such as Lefnim Meshur HaDin, he's not dealing with it for other reasons, but he says, in a case where one side clearly should give in because of Lefnim Meshur HaDin, then the Dayan has a mitzvah to encourage him to do Pshara. Even if the poskim that we're not going to force him to do Lefnim Meshur HaDin, the Dayan is very much encouraged to push Pshara. In a case where there's no Lefnim Meshur HaDin, one side is simply right and one side is simply wrong, then the Dayan might have the right to make a Pshara, but there's no mitzvah. So Rav Kalischer explains, when the litigants come to Beis Din before the Dayan hears the case, he doesn't know if there's any of the Meshur HaDin. He simply mentions the option. But once he hears the case and if he sees there is a Meshur HaDin, then the Sma is right. He should push Pshara. In a case where there's no Meshur HaDin, then the Maral is right. The Dayan has no business in encouraging a party to give up. There's no mitzvah to encourage a party to give up something when there isn't even any Indian of Lefnim Meshur HaDin. There's another compromise position, this is a very simple one. This is the Sefer Beis Moshe, as brought by the Halacha Psuka again, in Hara 60. The Beis Moshe says that there's no actual mitzvah, the Dayan has no actual firm commandment to push Pshara. He doesn't have to go out of his way to encourage Pshara. However, the Rambam's Lashon is, based on the language of Rabbi Shulman Karka that we saw, the Torah does prefer Pshara, and if the Dayan does it, it's Meshuvah. So that's all it is. There's no when the Mara says e pshar b'isu, idina b'isu, idina b'isu, e pshar b'isu, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah simply, the requirement to the Dayan is simply to bring it up as an option. And the Torah didn't require the Dayan to go further. But if he does go further to encourage pshara, then hareza meshubach. The Halacha Psuka also suggests that since we clearly see pshara is a good idea, this is in Hara 83, since clearly Pshara is a good idea, so even if we accept the opinions, not like the Sma, that there is no mitzvah on the Dayan to do it, but if the litigants originally tell the Dayan, do whatever you want, do din, do Pshara, do whatever you feel is best, then certainly the Dayan should prefer Pshara over din. Now, the minhag I think today generally is that Batei Din do push Pshara. They do encourage Pshara. As we've seen, some poskim say there's actually a mitzvah. We did see also that the Orim Batumim and the Orim Taz and the Maral say that there is no mitzvah and it's actually wrong to push Pshara too hard, but even they agree Pshara is a good thing and a Reizim Meshuvah. The question just seems to be how hard the Dayan should try to push Pshara. As I said, the minhag I think is that the Anam do generally try to encourage Pshara, although as we have seen, this is not actually so clear whether this is really the right thing to do. Now, as you mentioned earlier, the halacha is nigmar hadin yeter rashay lufta. That after there's a gmar din, the dayan is not allowed to make a pshar. Now the question is, what about before the gmar din? Before the gmar din, clearly Rabbi Shimon Karcha says mitzvah. And we know there's a Rishon Manasseh Shita that says that you should not make a pshara even after the Dayan knows what the din is, even after he knows where the din is. No, it's that most poskim come out, all poskim say we don't paskin like. But, so the question is, where do you draw the line? So this is actually Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugya, and Avavim and Beis. Rashi says Gmar Din is Kipshuto, actual Gmar Din. They say Chayavat Alitain Lo. There's a whole discussion about Teitain Lo. We're not going to get into that, but at least Chayavat Alitain Lo. Tosfos Shita is Gmardin in this context actually means an earlier stage in the proceedings. Gmardin means once the Dayan knows where the halacha is, at that point he's not allowed to make a pshar anymore. Now when we say knows, obviously we mean more than Rishon Manasseh Heichan and Dinote, because as we said, most posting don't pass like Rishon Manasseh, so the Birka Yosef and Ashei explains that Heichan and Dinote means you're pretty sure you know which way it's leaning, but you haven't actually decided yet. And the sheet of Tosis is, once you know which way the din has, you're going to pass. And once you've decided, even if you haven't actually made a formal announcement, at that point, pshara is aser. This is obviously a major nafkamina, because especially if the very often butted din, the psak is not given on the spot. The psak is given some days later after the day. I don't have had a chance to deliberate and to investigate. So very often there will be a point where the Dayanim have decided, but they have not issued either in writing or personal or verbally the psak, and that is going to be a major nafkamina between the shita of Rashi and Tosis. Now, many poskim, perhaps most poskim, go like Rashi, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, the language is like Rashi, the Shach poskim is like Rashi, Marashtam and the Tshuvas and Chash Mishpat, and Kufta Zayin poskim is like Rashi, and the Halacha Psuka and Har 88 bring many other poskim who also go like Rashi, that until the actual Gmar Din, even if the Dayan has decided, the mitzvah to make pshara is still in force. There are, however, other poskim who go like Tosfos. The Bach says that you should be machmer like Tosfos, and the Birkei Yosef and Ozvav also at, you know, say he brought many shittos like Tosfos, and in Ozvav he says, like the Bach, you should be machmer like Tosfos. So I don't know if there is a clear hachra, a clear minhag in the Shaila. Probably most poskim go the other way, but you do have the Bach and the Birkei Yosef who both say that a Dayan should be machmer like Tosfos, that after he has reached a decision about where the din is, then we have the halacha of Usser Lefashe. Now, even after the Psak Din, there is a major machlokas about the following din. The Shach brings a Shilta Giborim, B'Shem the Riaz, Rabbi Shaya, who says, one of the Rishonim, who says that this whole discussion of Pshara before the Gemara Din, Pshara after the Gemara Din, this whole discussion is referring to a Pshara imposed by the Dayan. The Dayan tells you, this is my decision. My decision is that you should make a Pshara as follows. He says the Dayan merely brokers an agreement between them. If he gets them to agree to a Pshara, that is fine even after the Gemara Din. The Riyaz says, L'vad shel yeh shum tzadach reach b'davar, there can be no compulsion, el pisuyim, upituyim. There can be persuasions, and you can convince him to do it, but zoo, as long as there's no compulsion, mitzvah gedola, avah shalom and adam l'chavera. That's a wonderful thing, avah shalom. So the Shach and the Shilta Giborim both say this thing that even after Gmar Din, as long as the Dayan can convince the litigants to do pshara, this is a great idea. This is the opinion, as we said, of the Shilta, the Riaz, the Shilta Giborim, the Shach, and the Nesivos and Sifkan Aleph, also paskins like this. As we said, there is a dissenting view. Many poskim say that pshara is pshara after Gmar Din is absolutely usur, even if the Dayan is able to persuade the litigants to agree to the pshara. This is the opinion of the Bach in Os Dalad, the Orim Vetumim and of Os Gimel, and the Birkei Yosef, the Chida again in Os Tes and Os Yud, but primarily Os Tes, that pshara is usur after Gmar Din, even if they agree. And the Chida tells us that in Eretz HaTzvi, that's Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Mitzrayim, that is the minhag, that Dayanim do not do pshara after the Gmar Din, even if they can get Balei Din to agree. Now, why we don't do pshara after Gmar Din, there are actually two reasons given in the poskim. One reason, some Rishonim say, is that it's just not fair. Once the Dayan decides that money belongs to so-and-so, it's inappropriate for the Dayan to then go back and say, okay, why don't you give him some of it, once they've already decided who it belongs to. Other posts can bring, the Rosh Yosef, Rosh Yosef Eskafa, and the Bar Elyo, and other posts can say the reason is the Elusa de Beidina. It's based in looks like they're looks indecisive. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. For them to start making psharas after they've already handed down a ruling, that would be zelusa de bedina. Now, Masnayel Mishpat, again, that's Rav Kalasher, he again has a pshara between the two opinions we just said, whether you're allowed to do a pshara after the Gmar Din, if you can persuade him to agree to it, he again has a pshara. He says, what the Dayan is not allowed to do is to propose a pshara and imply that he has some doubt about his Din, that the Din might not be the way he said, that he wants to make a pshara because he thinks it's right. To the extent that he seems to be retracting or fudging the Din, that's inappropriate after he has a Gmar Din. However, if he would tell the litigants explicitly, this is my psak, and I stand by my psak, and this is the halacha. However, I'm suggesting a pshara anyway, as long as he makes very clear that the Din is what it is, and this is merely a pshara, that's okay. And that's what the Shulta Yibarim is talking about. There's another interpretation of the Shulta Yibarim. This is proposed by the Beis Moshe, cited by the Halacha Psuka, that it depends what kind of pshara we're talking about. As we said, before we said there are two kinds of psharas. There's a pshara imposed by the Dayan, and there's a pshara brokered by the Dayan. But even psharas that are not imposed, there are really two kinds. The Dayan can say, I'll tell you what, why don't you give me the authority to make a pshara, and I'll, as fairly as I can, I'll make a pshara. But he doesn't tell them in advance what the pshara is. He just says, please authorize me to broker a pshara between you, and then I'll come back to you and tell you what I've decided. Or the Dayan can say, listen to me. The Din is what it is, but I propose that you agree to this settlement, and he tells him what the settlement is. How about it? What do you think? So the Beis Moshev, cited by the Halacha Psuka, says that Hara 101 says that the Shulta Yibarim is only talking about the latter case, where the Dayan actually says in advance, here is a pshara I'm proposing. Are you willing to accept this? In that case, he says, everyone agrees to the Shulta Yibarim. That's a regular mechila. He simply says, I paskin, you owe $100. Are you interested in giving 20? Why can't the Dayan do that? He's simply asking him to give away a specific amount of money. If the Dayan says, please authorize me to make a pshara, he's essentially asking that he wants to rehear the case. That the Dayan is not allowed to do. But if he tells him in advance what the pshara is, then that is fine. And that's what the Shulta Yibarim is talking about, and that he paskins like the Shulta Yibarim, that is fine. There's another thing we have to discuss in this context of pshara after the Gmar Din. The Shulchan Aruch, based on Tosis, brings the halacha that if the Dayan has paskin, if there's a chi of shvua, then he's allowed to mafasher even after the Gmar Din to avoid the shvua. Certainly Bati Din today rarely, if ever, actually administer shvuas. The minig is always to be mafasher for a shvua, as far as I know. And certainly this halach would be very nagea, that even after a Gmar Din, if there is a chi of shvua, the basin still has the right to mafasher. This din actually is also a machlokas. The Bach is throughout the siman is very machmaram shara, limits the scope of shara, as we've seen. Bach says no. The Bach says that even though Tosfos and other Rishonim have brought this idea, that if there's a chi of shvua, you can mafasher, that is Tosis, he says, l'shitasi. Tosis held that Gmar Din is even before the actual Gmar Din. It's only after, as we saw before, it's after he's decided which way the halacha is. Then if there's a chi of shvua, he can still go back and mafasher for the shvua. However, the Bach says, according to us, the Gmar Din means an actual Gmar Din. Then he should not be mafasher. This is the opinion of the Bach. Other poskim disagree. However, many poskim disagree. The Shach and others say that this Chumra Adrabba, this Chumra is a Kula, that you're limiting the amount of Pshar, you're going to cause Shavuos, and we definitely don't want to encourage Shavuos. And the Shach says that the Ikar LaHalacha is that if there's a Chi of Shavuos, even after a real Gmar Din, the Dayan is still encouraged to make a Pshar. This is also the opinion of the Birka Yosef and Os Yud Aleph, and HaLacha Psuka in Hara 114 says this is the opinion of the Lavush, and the Arka Shulchan also. So here the Bach is somewhat outnumbered. Most poskim say that if there is a Chi of Shavuos, then the Dayan is still permitted and presumably even has a mitzvah to make a pshara even after the Gmar Din. What is actually the svara for making a pshara even after a Gmar Din if there's a chi of shvua? The poskim use the lashon that to avoid the onus of a shvua. So Rav Yosef Askafa in the Rosh Yosef has an interesting question. He has an interesting perspective on this. He says, it's true, the Shavua is an Isser. Taking a Shavua Shaker is an Isser. But so is stealing, he says. Shavua, stealing is also an Isser. Maybe it's not as Chomer as Shavua, but there's certainly an Isser in stealing, he says. And yet, it doesn't say that you're allowed to make a Pshara after the Gemara Din because you want to avoid Gezel. So why exactly is Shavua so special that you're allowed to make a Pshara even after a Gemara Din for a Shavua? Now, we could say simply because, as we intimated before, Shavua is very Chomer. We really want to avoid Shavuas. And we permit that even after the Gemara Din. But he has another perspective. He says that when it comes to Gezel, the litigant can push back against the Dayan and say, it's not Gezel, I'm right. So I'm not interested in making a Pshara, and after the Gemara Din, the Dayan shouldn't push him. However, he says, when it comes to Shavua, even a Shavua's MS is something that should be avoided. And he says, even the other Baldin, the Baldin was not swearing, the Gemara says, Shavua Chal Al Shnei, that we tell the other person that if he takes a Shavua Shaker, you're going to get an Avera too. So Mela, there is room for a Pshara even after a Gemara Din. Now, the Rosh Yosef's point that even a Shavua's MS is wrong is actually a very interesting statement. This is something that certainly exists in the popular perception, that it's wrong to take a Shavua even ala emes, but there is actually surprisingly little halachic basis for this idea. The most famous source for this is actually a Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is in Choshen Mishpat, in his Tshuva, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tzadi, it's brought by the Pesche Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, and Simen Peizai, and Sivkan Chabez. Chasam Sofer was asked, what is the source for this? He says, people have this idea that they won't take a Shavua even ala emes. There's no real Gemara, he says. There's no clear statement in the Gemara in the early Poskim, and the early poskim about what the makar is. So he has a whole tshuva justifying the minhag, and he actually brings the there is a chazal, he says, even though chazal don't have a clear makar for it, he says, not Ramaz Bakra. So he says, there is a chazal, but he says, minhag, and he ends by saying, minhag Yisrael Torah v'ein lahar v'ein lahar. There are various other poskim who are asked about. The Shari Deya has a tshuva, where he says that there is actually a Radvaz, who says that it's a... There is actually a Radvaz, he says, that says it's Chidush al Shtus, but he actually defends him, like he says there is a Makar of the Gemara. Pardes Yosef has a discussion about it. The Shari Deya is in Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuftadi. The Pardes Yosef is in Bereshis, the end of Parshas and Parshas Vayetze, Osnan Gimel. So there are some poskim who do justify the minhag not to take a shvu, and that seems to be what Rosh Yosef is referring to. He says the dayan should tell the litigant that the dayan tells the litigant that taking a shvu is something we'd like to avoid. Even though you say you're telling the truth, you should still be avoiding shvu. And that justifies making a pshara even after the Gemara Din. So these are some of the opinions on pshara, when we make it, and how advisable it is. As we've seen, pshara is clearly a good thing. Kol dayan shows pshara ton reizim meshubach. It's much less clear, though, whether the Dayan has an actual mitzvah, an actual obligation, and when he does, the earlier in the proceedings, generally the better it is. After Gemara Din, we generally don't make Psharas before, except in the case of Shavua, as we saw. Other people who are not Dayanim, according to many Poskim, can make Psharas even after Gemara Din, although some Poskim disagree. And everyone agrees that Pshara is a good thing, although, as we've seen, not everyone agrees that the litigants themselves have the mitzvah, although everyone agrees that the Dayan is at least encouraged, at least in certain cases, to attempt to convince the litigant to make a pshara, although how far the dayan has to go, as we have seen, is not really that clear.